Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me for the 140th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Claude Ragonje. He is originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo and came to the United States in 1996. Claude earned his bachelor's and master's degrees in business and finance and applies what he has learned directly to his work. He is the director of the nonprofit organization called Community Financial Literacy. Claude was previously on this show in the summer of 2014, which was the 15th episode, and we spoke about his life and work. And Claude is back today to update us on the efforts of his organization and tell us about their upcoming annual event this year, a block party. So nice to have you back with us, Claude.
Thank you so much for having me again.
You work with New Mainers all the time, and I wonder what you wish that everyone understood about New Mainers that might otherwise go unnoticed or misunderstood.
Thank you, Kate. That's really a good question. Like I said before, I've been here now over 20 years, and I consider myself a Mainer because of really the way here is my home. I have my family here, I have my kids here, my wife, my mom, my siblings, and I want to be consider myself as Mainer, like everybody else. So the mystery that we see mostly in people is the fact that when they hear immigrants, New Mainers, they reflect automatically the general assistance. That's not what really describe New Mainers. New Mainers are individuals, parents, educators, professionals who are here to most of them fleeing conflict in their own hometown or home countries, and they chose Maine as their state or U.S. as their home country. So what we need to know as Mainers is to understand that New Mainers are here to help our state, which has a population which is aging. So we need New Mainers in different sectors. We need New Mainers in our workforce development. So we need employees. We need people to work to grow the economy. We need New Mainers as taxpayers. We need New Mainers to help this education system we have here. You go everywhere in the state. You find whether at USM, whether in UNE, whether you are at the public schools. Matter of fact, we have 40% of our Portland public schools as U.S. non-born kids who are here. So why are people really reflecting New Mainers are only general assistance takeaway? No, we're not a liability. We are an asset for the state, and the state needs New Mainers to help its growth. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great answer to that question. And it made me wonder while you were saying, what do we need in order to change this public perception that immigrants equals public assistance, because it does not always mean that. And when it does, it's sometimes for a very short time at the beginning. It's not a huge connection, but they get stuck together.
That's absolutely true. That's a misconception that people have when they hear New Mainers. I actually myself talked to some of the young leaders and I purposely asked them this question: what do you think about New Mainers? And that was the answer I got for the first time. So what we need is an education. When we have a person like Kate, who has been promoting New Mainers for the last few years, talking about the role of new mayors in our economy. We need to hear a voice from the Chamber of Commerce talking about this. We just saw what happened recently with the City of Portland promoting the Office of Economic Opportunity. That's what we need to do together to educate the public, to make sure that everybody understands that we need these new mayors in all sectors in order for us to grow the economy. So that's what we need. I think it's a key piece here is the education. Talk about it in your churches, in your public area, in your work, whenever you go. So discuss why we need new mayors beyond just the one piece of assistance. I think that's what we need.
Yeah, it's funny. No one really likes to be defined in simple terms because we are complex and we are many things.
Absolutely.
And so why would new mayors just want to be thought of in one way? Of course, we need to pay closer attention to the details and the truth of the stories.
That's true. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Yes. So you are the director of community financial literacy. Can you tell us what that's about? I'm sure you've done that millions of times, have a polished elevator speech, but for people who don't know and didn't listen to your interview 3 years ago, what do you tell them?
That's excellent question. Community financial literacy actually is one of the nonprofit here in Portland, Maine, and the Lewiston, and we are trying to expand actually elsewhere, is one of the things that we do to promote what new mayors are, to help educate the public and also to empower the refugees themselves to build self-sufficiency. So we empower immigrants to get employment. We empower them to understand how the American financial system works. We empower them to get higher education in partnership with our partners like Financial Authority of Maine, Maine State Housing, Poland Adult Education, Lewiston Adult Education, Avesta Housing. I can go on and on and on. So our main job is to help people understand the system because we know that people come from different countries with a different background where the system, like what we have here, didn't exist. So the banking was a little bit different. People would put money in a bank and not get it the next day, not because they can't access their bank account, but because the system, the way it works, and they grew up by not trusting the bank anymore. So when we came here, we really learned a new system. And there are still people who resist even today to say that they're going to open a bank account because what they went through in the past. So what we're trying to do is to remove the mystery of what they used to learn and teach them the right system. And again, it's a very complex.
It's so complex. You can't be expected to just figure it out.
Absolutely. I never had any experience with a credit report. What is a credit report? What is a credit score? I didn't know anything. And I was actually, it's funny because I was doing a conference in Arizona a few years ago. And I was talking about the topic of financial literacy. One of the immigrants there said, when I get the bills, I throw them in the trash. I don't even know that who's going to notice that I threw them away. So you understand that they still have mindset that I'm alone in a house. I got this paper. Let me throw it away. Nobody will notice. That's how why CFL is there to educate people on those kind of things.
Yes, it's a really different world.
Absolutely.
And you're there. And your vision on the website, I love, it says that all Maine's refugees, immigrants, and their families and communities reach financial stability and improve their quality of life.
That's correct. And the way we describe that vision is in the three segments that I gave you. One is if we need people to build financial stability, they have to have a job. So, and if we need people to work and improve the quality of lives, they need to have a good education to get a better wage. So, or otherwise, if you can't work for you can't work for somebody, start a business. So when you put all these three pieces together, getting a higher education and getting employment, or work for yourself, then we come together again to say, let's help you manage your finances so that you can reach your dream. You can reach the American dream that people still don't understand. What is the American dream? The new manners also have to understand because they came here to stay. So to be able to reach that level, we need all these three pieces connected, including the financial education and the one-on-one counseling.
And everyone wins when it's so. I may not even use the company that's being built, but the whole community wins when there's a thriving storefront, when there are people paying taxes, when there are people employing others. I think it's really brilliant that you're there right after. You know, it's not just starting jobs and starting businesses, but then supporting them so that they can grow and employ more people.
That's exactly what I said at the beginning, that we need new men as a taxpayer. We need new men as to fill the gaps in employment. We need new men as in our everyday's business. Let me give you another example. In Lewiston, for example, when the immigrants came, those houses were empty, but people were shouting that we're getting immigrants to take away. But today, everybody is pleased. The chamber is happy. The banks are happy. The houses are happy.
And the athletic supporters are happy.
The athletics supporters are happy. I mean, sports.
Yes.
Look at what the immigrants did in Lewiston. So all these pieces need to be told. Diversity is what makes us unique and the better.
Yeah, try cooking just with salt and pepper. Not good.
Absolutely.
You bring the cumin, baby. I want to mention that all your classes at Community Financial Literacy are free, and they include things like savings to build wealth.
Yes.
Basic money management and microfinance.
Correct. Yeah. And we do more workshop actually beyond those three. Yes.
I know you do.
Yes.
And you are at 309 Cumberland Avenue. Can you give people your website?
It's at www.cflme.org.
Wonderful. It's a great website. I hope people find you there.
Thank you.
When we were talking 3 years ago, you had some goals that you mentioned, workforce development, efficient new business expansion, and college counseling. I wonder how things are going on those fronts now.
That's exactly what I just mentioned in the three pieces that we added to community financial literacy.
So you actually have an employee that helps people
Correct.
Find colleges and
Yes.
keep from getting wicked
we
in
do
debt.
Have, oh, I couldn't remember that I was here that long. So we had an employee now on our organization who does higher education and who helps actually new minors, who helps young kids who are graduating from high school, help them understand the aspiration of colleges, help them understand, fill out the FAFSA, help them understand how to choose the choices or even read the award that they're receiving from the school, help them apply those who are struggling to apply themselves. And also, those people who are coming with the degrees, help them get their degrees translated so that they can continue as well. Either they want to change a career or they want to continue with what they're doing.
Yeah, and on the fact side of that, more people in this state have college degrees that are over 25 years old that are foreign-born than actually native-born Mainers.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And in terms of the workforce, yes, we started officially incorporating our financial education within the job skills that we do with the Poland Adult Education. So that's the area that we're working on. And also we do career exploration at Avesta Housing, where we need to have people who have come to this country understand their skills, how they can use them, or if they want to switch career, they can do that. So we are providing a career exploration as part of the workforce development as well.
What would our community look like if there weren't people like you doing that?
I'm not sure that. but I believe that there are so many who can do more than I do. But I'm happy as well to be doing what I do with the community. And that's why the organization like Regional Chamber just gave me an award as a recognition of what we do. So I'm very happy and pleased.
Yes, I'm happy and pleased you're doing it too.
Thank
if you're
you.
Just joining us, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak, and my guest today is Claude Roganger. Not only is he the director of the Community Financial Literacy, but he is a community leader and advocate for local immigrants everywhere he goes. Can you tell us a little bit about the state of affairs for immigrants in Maine today, Claude?
It's a really disappointing little bit. Two weeks ago, I was in Augusta testifying against the LD 366, which is a bill which is trying to bring the local police to try to arrest people or ask them IDs and cooperate with the federal government police. And again, that little bit scared me, because while we are trying to build the one grow the economy, as I said, we are trying to scare people away. That's a little bit scary. And I was shocked when I went to Augusta to testify, and the person who wrote this bill said that immigrants are coming with the criminals, or they're bringing criminalities here. And I was moved by Fatuma Hussein, who said, man, you really need to understand who immigrants are, and you need to come to us if you really need to know about the issue of immigrants. We're not criminal. We are parents. We have kids in a college. We have kids our minors who are educating other here in public schools. We have immigrants who are business leaders. How can you just take all of us in one box? We need to collaborate with law enforcement. And matter of fact, we have a good relationship with our policing, whether it's in here in Portland, whether it's in Lewiston, whether it's in Westbrook and elsewhere. And we need to collaborate whenever we see something going on, rather than them scare us, then we can't even talk to them. So that's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about how we work together, rather than them say, oh, we need to remove them, we need to chase them out, we need to separate the relationship. The relationship is what, and the trust is what will help us build these men together in a better way.
Yeah, it's scary to me what happens when immigrants don't feel comfortable going to the law enforcement.
Correct.
And you can get trafficked, sure, and abused, and your wages can be stolen, and all kinds of terrible things if you're not able to be part of the system.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Kate. That's what's going on. And, we hear what's going on in D.C. as well. Many executive orders that really are similar to what we see here. And people are really scared. I will just give you one thing from the Congo. When the police want to really to harass people, they will ask them ID. And then if you show the ID, they will even say, do you have baptism card? So try to figure out ways that they can arrest you, or just you give them money somehow. Are we going back to the system where, I'm not saying that any policy is corrupt at all, I didn't say that. Hope people don't misunderstand me. I'm just giving an example in a Congo. But that's the image people used to have. When you see a police, you're scary. They're going to ask me money. They're going to ask me whatever I don't have just to arrest me. So here, we know police are fair. We know police are human beings. We know police are really doing right thing for the city, for the state. So we need to build a relationship and continue to collaborate with them rather than get scared by them.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And part of it is knowing the actual facts. One place that I turn to for facts is immigrationpolicy.org. And here's one I really like. Immigrant population in Maine was about 45,000 in 2013. And 56% of them are naturalized citizens, making them eligible to vote. 3.1% of Maine voters are new Americans.
That's correct.
That's a lot of voters.
Absolutely. And there are more that's still coming. You're talking about 2013.
That's right.
This is now 2017. How many more have been added?
Yes, it takes 5 years. So once they've been here 5 years.
Absolutely. But again, in the 2013, probably there were other immigrants who were in a pipeline to become a citizen.
Absolutely.
Every year they become citizens. So I'm sure that, and how many babies who have immigrants have had here in the state since that number, I mean, since the 2013, maybe we're not 45,000 anymore. Mm-hmm. Probably we are more than that.
Another fact that I found that I really liked was 44 million people, $44 million gets added to the state's economy in tuition alone just from foreign students.
Absolutely. It's again, like I said, 40% of Poland public schools are non-U.S. born, which means if you have that big number, so you're going to have college graduate every year that comes from the new MENA communities. So it's not a surprise.
I can say from personal experience of 3 years of going around and meeting people from different communities that it seems to me that foreign-born Mainers have more belief in education, fire in their belly to get education, more they esteem education and appreciate it in a way that I think we take for granted sometimes and think, maybe we'll get to it later. There's like a burning desire for education.
Definitely.
And that fuels an industry, both supporting the colleges and then later, you know, making fine applicants for jobs.
Definitely. We believe in education. We know that the success will come from education. Again, I don't want to take away from poor dad, rich dad, who said, one, get education for a better life, or you start your own business. But we immigrants are succeeding in both areas. But again, we believe in education. You're absolutely right, Kate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this Thursday's a big day in Portland. It's a really big day. Anybody who knows you knows that. You want to tell us about your upcoming event that you're planning for CFL to celebrate your eighth year in business, your seventh big annual celebration.
That's correct.
Yeah, tell us about what's going on.
I'm very excited. I have a fabulous team that is working day and night to put this block party together. They call it block party, and it's an event that we call CFL Elevate. We need to elevate, as we said, empowerment is what we strive to for our immigrants communities. So a block party is a party where we come together. Again, I want to welcome anybody who want to register. You can go to our website, the cflme.org, to attend this event. And we're expecting probably more than 300 people to attend. We'll have a place where you hear some of the folks we have educated, we have helped in different ways, whether it's a true higher education, helping them with a scholarship, or is someone who couldn't afford probably getting an affordable housing because of credit. We have them rebuild a good credit. Now they're coming back, give testimonies. Or somebody who was looking for a job, employment, we help them find a job. So you hear a lot of testimonies from our alumni at the party. But also it's a place where we bring our donors and the supporters together to show them what we have done for the community. And we bring a lot of communities. This is probably the unique event where you have a diversity of people coming together to celebrate. So it has been going on for a while. We have had 6 years of events, but this one is unique because we have Aquaba. They're going to perform. We have Suru Girls from Sudanese. We have a team from Congo, which is going to perform. So we have a performance. But we also have a wonderful ethnic food,
woohoo,
which is going to be great. So this is it's something that you don't have to miss. You really need to be there to see and talk to these people that we're talking about, which are assets. If you're an employer, you might get somebody there who can work for you. If you are a business looking for any accountant, any bookkeeper, anybody, this is a place where you can meet and mingle and network with the communities. And we have, I'll never forget to say that, we have a wonderful board from all sorts of a business in a community that's supporting the organization. They are fabulous. They are putting this together with our volunteer. And I don't want to miss my staff. They're really great. They work so hard to make
men a better place.
How many people are employed at CFL now?
We have 5 full-time staff and 1 consultant who comes as needed to help us, or coaches to help us continue to excel, so to do a great job. So we're growing, and we recently opened our another office in Lewiston so we can continue to expand. And we think about going to your county as well.
Oh, this is terrific.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very well sponsored. I know that you are known as a fabulous networker, and it's not surprising when, I mean, just the number of people you just mentioned, your sponsors, your staff, your volunteers, your students, and the family members that support you, you really have a big network behind
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I want to thank Hennifer, which is our lead sponsor. They have done a great job. I hope those who are coming will see them. We thank Wells Fargo. We thank Seaport. We thank Plenson International. We thank you name
all. You can't thank all of them because there's a
many
really long list.
In a league. You thank. I can't. There are so many. They're so happy to be our sponsor.
But they're happy because you're doing something really important for this
thank
community.
Thank you, Kate. I know for sure that they know we're doing a great job.
Those are big, some of them multinational corporations, and they are choosing to sponsor you because of what you're doing actually is really well built, and it's making a big difference in the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we feel, and we feel like we're making a difference, and I'm very happy. And please, again, you can go and register if you want to attend the event. It's coming Thursday. I'm very excited. It's going to be
CFLME.org,
and it's going to be at Poland Complex on 4th Street. Near Commercial Street. So please join us if you have time.
Hope you have a fabulous block party.
Thank
Claude, you.
You
are a fun person to be with because you're such
a
warm and genuine individual. I wish you a wonderful 7-year anniversary celebration this week at the block party. And thank you for being my guest again today on New Mainers Speak.
It's always a pleasure to be your guest, Kate. And I'm happy that this station continues to support the New Mainers and in yourself and others who have come to the show. I really applaud you and this work that you're doing for the community.
You're very kind.
Thanks a lot.
You're like a professional thanker.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainersspeak. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Claude Roganje. Claude, would you introduce the song you've chosen to close today's program?
Yeah, I want to introduce Akwaaba, the drummer from West Africa, and they're going to be performing at the event at Block Party. So please listen to this. It's dedicated to all of you. Thank you.
An audio taste test.
Sure. Thank you.